Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We are happy right now to head to the phone lines to be joined by friend of the show, James Palmer. He does fantastic work with Bleacher Report, also the Scoop City podcast. James, happy to have you pop on, man.
Man, this is a big one. I knew you'd be calling. Let's go. This is a big week.
Absolutely. So, James, let's start with this. What went wrong on Thursday Night Football against the Raiders? I understand that it is a divisional game, but that went worse than I think a lot of people expected, a 10-7 snooze fest. What went wrong on Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, nothing really went wrong defensively. I mean, the team has played very well in Denver defensively, for sure. Offensively, it really has been, you know, an interesting go of it over the last several weeks. And listen, they're well aware of it. Offensively, they've had an issue with, as I talk to defensive coordinators that have gone against this team, it's, you know, the play calling is a little bit predictable from Sean Payton. If they can't get the run game going, there's certain aspects of this offense that teams just don't worry about. And Bo Nix has had some inaccuracy issues. Now, with the predictable play calling, I think that's a little bit more indicative of what's happening as an offense and what's happening at the quarterback spot that's kind of making Sean be a little bit predictable, because those same coaches are telling me he is scheming guys open. There are guys that he is scheming open with this group. But the first three quarters have been a bit of an anomaly. We've seen a lot of inconsistent play, maybe playing a little too fast in terms of Bo Nix. They've seen them, you know, get away from the run early in games and then run it better in the second half. And it's almost like right now they're waiting, like, don't worry, in the fourth quarter we'll find a way. That's not sustainable by any stretch against a Kansas City team that's not sustainable. But really, I know it's a divisional game that was against the Raiders. I know up front they played pretty well. They did some things that Denver didn't expect them to do. But the offense, to be completely frank, is a concern in Denver, and that was a really good example of it, because if there wasn't an offensive pass interference call on a pick play, Denver loses that game because the Raiders scored on that play. And so the offense is an issue, and I think there's guys in that locker room that are concerned about the way they're playing offensive football right now.
It feels to me like a lot of this centers around Bo Nix, because I'm looking at the offensive line. They've invested a lot of resources into that offensive line. The run game has been good. J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey. I like the pass options that they have. It feels like a lot of this really stems from the fact that Bo Nix had a very, very strong rookie season. It feels like he's regressed this year.
Yeah, I think regression is the word that we oftentimes use. What really is the truth, and honestly, is like There's no book on you rookie year. There's no book on how you like to play with your play caller. There's no book on the tendencies you have in the NFL game. And when I talk to teams, it's, you know, there's a book on the guy now. And defenses know his tendencies of what he likes to do. You can't rely on a couple of those things that you really relied on your rookie year because people didn't know that was something that you really love to do within this offense. So he's having to react back to the way defenses are playing him. I do think there's been somewhat of a regression for sure, and a lot of that happens with the growth of these young quarterbacks. I mean, I'll be honest, like Patrick's been the outlier in all honesty in terms of quarterback growth throughout a player's career, the way he's played in the early seasons of it. And it's this, like, all right, they're going to take this away. You got to change and pivot to this. The rookie year, we know that you do these five things really, really well. Let's stick with them. Well, guess what? Those five things don't work in year two. We got to make it to 10. And they wanted to expand this offense in year two. They really did. They thought off that first year, all right, we can really expand this for Bo. Well, they put a lot out there and a lot on his plate. And so no quarterback growth is linear by any stretch, but he's not playing the way that they expected him to play in year two, for sure. I mean, the crazy part about it is, and I put this out this week because it just kind of blew my mind, in the first three quarters, there's only one quarterback that has a lower completion percentage than Bo Nix, and it's Cam Ward. I mean, Bo Nix is completing under 60% of his passes in the first three quarters. There's only one quarterback that has fewer yards per attempt than Bo Nix in the first three quarters. That's Dylan Gabriel. I don't think I'm, you know, listing murder a row here of quarterbacks that he's sitting around in these first three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, they seem to find a little bit of magic. I think he's more comfortable playing up-tempo. But with the way Sean Payton runs this offense and the personnel groupings they change in and out, it's hard to play at a faster speed. I think Bo likes to play up-tempo, and they do that in the fourth quarter. And maybe they'll start building off that a little bit further. But It has been an interesting season for Bo Nix, but he's still not taking a whole lot of sacks, not a whole lot of negative plays, and I think part of that is he knows he has a good defense that can help him keep himself in game. So the other part I would say real quickly is the Evan Engram addition at the tight end spot they really thought was going to be that joker role that's been valuable for Sean Payton in the past, and it just hasn't gone the way they wanted to just yet. I won't write it off entirely, but Engram getting comfortable in this offense has been a part that's been kind of missing as a probably a key factor that a lot of people thought he'd be second on this team probably in receiving yards behind Cortland Sutton when the season started.
Right now, we're talking to James Palmer of Bleacher Report. Also, be sure to check out the Scoop City podcast. You know the saying, you are what your record says you are. Do you believe that's the case with the Broncos? Because their record would indicate that they're one of the best teams in the National Football League. But through a couple of those games that we mentioned, I mean, they beat the Jets by 2 points. They beat the Giants by 1 point and needed to score 33 points in the final quarter. Houston, 18-15. We talked about Thursday Night Football. Do you think that the record is indicative of this Broncos team is one of the five best teams in the league?
I don't know, because I feel like we can say that about a lot of these teams right now in this season. And I do think you are what your record is. You're right. And it's funny. I had Zach Allen on my show today, and we were kind of talking about winning these one-score games. I mean, they've been outstanding at it this year, and he was like, you know, it's kind of funny. That's what the Chiefs were last year. They just found a way in every one-score game to go out there and come out on top, and it's been kind of flipped. And he's kind of right. And there's just little things that happen in the course of the end of the game that a lot of people say. A handful of plays make up the deciding factor in some of these games. The point is, I would say, they're in all of these games. You could make the argument, you know, adversely to what you said, and I agree with you. I mean, they've beaten two backup quarterbacks, you know what I mean? Four of their wins are against teams that are last place in their division of this. So, like, of course, there's ways to pick it. You could even say there was a leveraging call at the end of the Colts game, who many people believe the Colts are arguably the best team in the AFC. You can make an argument in some cases for that. They beat the Colts. There was a ridiculous leveraging call on the final field goal that won the Colts the game. And they were an insane play from Justin Herbert on a touchdown to Keenan Allen that was just unbelievable from beating the Chargers. They could be undefeated, Carrington. Like, they literally could. And we'd probably be having the same conversation. So it's been really interesting to watch them play. I think the defense is good enough to keep them in any game. I would say this, as I've talked to people around the league, this is the type of season, if you play good ball defensively, you run the ball well, you don't hurt yourself, you can be kind of a little bit of a sloppy team and advance through the postseason this year. It's just that type of year because the heavy hitters in the AFC are not what we've seen in years past. Like, it's the last 6 years have been dominated by Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson. Well, those teams haven't played the way we've seen them play in years past. And so that opens the door for teams like Denver or Indianapolis to maybe not be perfect, but have the records that they have.
Right now, we're joined by James Palmer of Bleacher Report, getting you ready for Sunday's matchup between the Chiefs and the Broncos. We talked about the offensive side of the ball. Let's switch over to the defensive side for the Denver Broncos. I believe the Broncos have the best defense in the National Football League, but, and it feels like, to the point that you just made, you could make this argument about anybody. I'm looking at the quarterbacks that they've beaten. I'm looking at Cam Ward. I'm looking at Jake Browning, Justin Fields, Jackson Dart, Geno Smith last week. I believe that their defense is elite and has played at a very high level. I got to see them do it against a team like Kansas City that is going to be relatively healthy outside of Isaiah Pacheco.
Did you think Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have a pretty good defense? A pretty good offense?
Certainly, and they did a fantastic job against Dallas a couple weeks ago, no question.
Yeah, for sure. So I do think they have it in them. I mean, I don't think you're like 25 sacks above the rest of the NFL. And like, that's just like something to, you know, scoff at in a sense. Like, they have a really talented defense. They really do. And you can only play the quarterbacks you've played against, certainly. And I think this is an absolutely just another level measuring stick for Denver as a team. I think all eyes are on this to see if they're for real, because all the questions you're asking are very valid for them, honestly. They really are, at the record that they have and the teams that they've played and how they've played some of those teams tight. But, I mean, I do go look and go, okay, let's just go from the players and the scheme. Like, they're really good. And up front, I don't know if there's a better defensive line. I love Seattle's D-line and LA's D-line. But, like, the way that the get-off is on Nick Benito, like, I had somebody tell me the other day, they're like, I don't want to say it, man, but it's borderline like a Von Miller quickness first step. Like, it's that fast. And they're starting to become household names. I mentioned Zach Allen and Jonathan Franklin Myers. Like, they made a strength, Carrington, which I thought was interesting, and not a lot of teams do this. In the offseason, you try to, you know, fix the issues you have. And at the trade deadline, you try to fix or band-aid the issues you have. They took a strong defense and made two monster free agent acquisitions in Telanoa Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw. Like, they made a strength even stronger. Huff has been outstanding in the middle of this. I think that's a big difference from what they were as a defense a season ago. I think, obviously, no Sertan is enormous. I mean, I think that's a player of the year. I mean, that's a big difference. But I do think they got better in the middle of the defense, the middle of the field with Dre Greenlaw and Telanoa Hufanga. So, again, I think it's a really, really good defense. It is. And you can only play the teams that you've played. And they've shown out in almost, you know, almost every single game. The offense is the real question. But Patrick is a different animal. Andy Reid coming off a bye is a different animal. And that's why this is an unbelievable test. Like, it really is going to be, is this team for real in Denver? And that's what everybody's curious about come Sunday.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a measuring stick game for both teams. Like, I don't want to paint it like, sure, only the Broncos have to answer questions and the Chiefs don't have to answer questions.
Yeah,
the Chiefs have beaten one good team this year. They had a home win against the Detroit Lions when the Lions were super banged up. I've been making this point. I feel like there are two doors for Kansas City. If they win this game, this is the game that they've always won. They have never lost this game with Patrick Mahomes. Important game in the AFC West. They are shooting 100% from the field. If they lose this game, and we're talking about a team that's 5-5 in Week 11, we are going to have to look at the Chiefs for the first time as a wild card team, and we have never done that since Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback of the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I think what's happened is, and I make this comparison often, and I don't know if people in Kansas City like it comparison to the Patriots of their heyday or dislike it. I mean, they're both the two dynasties we've seen. They're the two most dominant quarterbacks we've seen in recent memory. And so I understand a lot of the parallels, but like, there's been these years where New England used to be able to feel themselves out in the first month of the season and go, all right, what are we this year? Obviously our roster changed. What can we be? The constant is obviously Brady, and how do we change and adapt, and we can turn it on. And Kansas City has had that luxury as well, as they've had slow starts with defenses in years past. And they've been historically bad as a defense through the first months of the season years past and still gone on and won Super Bowls. And they've had the luxury of doing that. The comparison I make between the two, Carrington, is like, look at the division of the AFC East that the Patriots were dealing with during all this. Relatively weak. And most of the time, the Chiefs have been able to deal with this with a relatively weak AFC West. They really have. And this year, you're seeing it in the start that the Chargers had and the way the Broncos are playing. And it's a little tougher to climb out of a hole if the rest of your division is better. And that's where I think things have shifted for Kansas City. Not that they've gotten essentially worse, it's just the rest of the division has gotten a lot better. So, like, if you take a look at where they're at, I think their chances of getting the number one seed if they lose this game are at 1%, literally 1%, and their chances of missing the playoffs go to 39%. If they win this game, their chances of missing the playoffs drop to 16%, and their chances of the one seed go up to, like, 7%. So, like, this is, I think you're right, a massive measuring stick for where the Chiefs are because of the spot they put themselves in. The point I would make between these two teams that I think is maybe being overlooked a little bit is I believe the Chiefs go to one of the, I think, the 20th easiest schedule the rest of the way out, after having one of them maybe like the fifth toughest in the first stretch. So I think they flip and Denver goes from the fifth easiest to the toughest for the remaining portion. So I think this is kind of a crux in the road for both teams.
I thought you made a really good point earlier and an observation that I've had as well. It feels like those three teams that you mentioned, whether it's Denver, Indianapolis, or New England, like they are sort of threatening the AFC way of life. The AFC has not changed over the last three, four seasons. It's been Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. Well, now you got these new kids and these new teams that want to crash the party, and we've always known that someone's going to try to catch up to Kansas City. This is just the newest team that the Chiefs have to try to stay in front of.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, two of the three have come completely out of nowhere, right? I mean, obviously Indianapolis and New England, and New England won four games a season ago, and they are definitely benefiting from where they finished a season ago with the schedule that they're playing, certainly. But you can't argue that they're playing really, really, really good football, and I think Vrabel might be the coach of the year. And Indianapolis was just, you kind of forget they won eight games last year, actually, without a quarterback. And so you get a decent signal caller, and, you know, you put yourself together a little bit better. I think people did expect, and I think Sean Payton's the one who kind of led this charge of make sure you keep your eye on Denver, you know, in year two with Bo Nix and the way this defense is and the way they've invested in their offensive line. And, you know, here we kind of come, and they were a blocked field goal away from beating the Chiefs last season, which a lot of people thought they should have. But again, you still got to win the game. And so there is a little bit of a shifting of the guard, but at the same time, I would say, like, the Ravens had one of the best rosters in football at the start of this year. They were just destroyed by injuries for a lengthy stretch, including their quarterback, which just derails their entire season. And I think they're still the front runner to probably win that division now. The Bills are a fascinating one. And the buzz around the league with Buffalo is this, like, did they knock on the door to the Super Bowl so many years in a row that now there's a little bit of an exhaustion with it, right? Like, we've been right there over and over again, and we can't get over the hump. And then this year you kind of see it to where they've been uneven week to week. They had a great defensive plan against Kansas City, and then the next week they lay an egg, you know, against Miami. And so, you know, I think that every team in the AFC is flawed to some capacity this year. And I think that's why we're having a hard time figuring out who's at the top. And you know, and I think you could really pick a major hole in every one of these teams. And I think that's why these games coming up this weekend across the NFL are so huge. Like, you have questions on every team, but, like, okay, Rams, Seahawks, now we're really going to find out. Lions, Eagles, now we're really going to find out. Bills, Bucks, now we're really going to find out. Chiefs, Broncos, now we're really going to find out. I think everybody's waiting to find out, guaranteed, but nobody's playing good enough football to separate themselves legitimately and eliminate some of those questions.
This doesn't come off as shade, but it might be a little bit of shade. You know, we're so used to big games here in Kansas City. They play in so many. Eagles in the second week of the season, Lions for Sunday night football, Bills games. The Chiefs always play in these kind of games. Man, it feels like this is the biggest game that Denver has had at home in a very, very long time, that we talk about that measuring stick and kind of letting the NFL know that you are here. I don't think you can undersell what a Broncos win would mean for this team, for this conference, if they're able to knock off the Chiefs.
It'd be massive. It would be. And you're exactly right. I mean, I've covered all those big games in Kansas City. There's a reason I'm getting sent there. It's like, this is the team. These are the matchups. These are the games. And this is a what league? A quarterback-driven league. There has not been a quarterback in Denver since Peyton Manning retired in 2015. There just hasn't been. I mean, it's just been an embarrassing revolving door of you know, drafting guys in the first round. Paxton Lynch might be the biggest whiff of a quarterback in the first round in recent memory. You try to bring in Case Keenum or Joe Flacco or Trevor Siemian, you and I were joking around about, like Russell Wilson, one of the bigger trades that have flopped. They've tried to fix this thing, but they haven't been relevant because they haven't had quarterback play. You know, those Vic Fangio years, go back and ask Patrick Mahomes how fun it was going against Vic Fangio's defenses in those years. He hated it. It was awful. He still won all the games because they didn't have a quarterback. But this team has just been sitting there, you know, as one of the marquee franchises of the NFL, in my opinion. I mean, they own a region of the country in the Denver Broncos, and they just have not been relevant. They used to hang their hat on a saying that was incredible. They had more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons as a franchise before they went through this drought. I mean, that's an amazing stat. And now they do feel like they're back in relevancy. They do feel like they have a quarterback. I think that's still to be determined, in all honesty, a year and a half into Bo Nix's career, whether he is the guy. But they do essentially have hope for the first time. And I think that's why you're right when you say that this team actually has an opportunity to beat Kansas City at home and move to 9-2 and really prove to themselves they're back part of, you know, the elite teams in the NFL. When you play a team like Kansas City, that is the measuring stick that all these teams have. It's why everybody, you know, everybody gives their best shot to Kansas City. It's why that game with the Bills was essentially like, you know, people call it the Bills Super Bowl. I'm not sure if that's the case, but you get the drift of it. That's the way everybody feels, and that's where Kansas City has put themselves by their play over the last several seasons, obviously, as being the best team in football. And Denver's just trying to get back to that, and I think this is really their first real legitimate opportunity to do it.
James, I feel like we're going to bother you next week because as big as this game is, if the Chiefs win this game, they got an even bigger game next week at home against the Colts.
Yeah, they got Indy. It should be fun to break down Indy. It's one of my favorite offenses to watch, honestly. The balance, the ability that Indianapolis has to do the run and the pass, and Tyler Warren has just been a linchpin for that group, and especially with obviously the way Jonathan Taylor's playing. It's been really fun to watch Indy play offense, and I think with some time now, it's going to be fun to see what Lou Anarumo going back against Patrick Mahomes. Oh, man, I'm getting excited now for next week. Hit me up next week when we can talk about Colts-Chiefs, because, man, another Lou Anarumo-Patrick Mahomes game, sign me up for it.
That is James Palmer joining us on the show. James, we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, Kennedy.
Absolutely. That is James Palmer joining us on the show. I know we're not looking too far ahead. The Chiefs got to take care of their business this week against the Denver Broncos, but, I mean, these two teams find themselves, and I would say a very similar position in having to answer very similar questions. The Chiefs offense needs to answer how they look going up against a premium defense like the Broncos. The Broncos defense needs to answer how they'll look up against an offense like Kansas City. You can play the schedule game with both teams. Now, the Chiefs have looked better, I think, in their wins than Denver has, but Denver has also won more games so far in Kansas City. Rob, these two teams are probably more alike than they are different if we are just looking at it through a 10,000-foot view heading into this matchup, because the outside perception, I think, for both teams and the questions that are swirling around them, I think are very similar for both Kansas City and Denver.
I think the questions in the 10,000-foot view is fair to ask if they're similar, but I think their questions are being phrased different. So I agree with you, this question similar, but I think they're very different phrasing. For the Broncos, it's, are you real? And the Chiefs' question is, are you the Chiefs? Which is an offshoot of the term, are you real? So it's very similar, but I think it's the way that we perceive both teams that is 180 difference.
But I think to what you're saying is, and I don't disagree with you, but isn't, like, let's say the Chiefs lose this game and they're 5-5 and it is week 11. The only reason people will believe that the Chiefs are real is based off what they've done in the past and not really off anything they've shown you this season. If the Chiefs lose this game in the first 11 weeks of the season, they've only really put it together one time. I don't care about the Ravens, where the Ravens were playing at 60% capacity. I don't care about you beating down on Washington. You have put it together one time against the Lions team, and a lot of people will start to look through Kansas City's resume with the fine-tooth comb. Now, you will be silly to completely disregard the Chiefs based off of the history, but if Kansas City loses this game and we're sitting there, man, all of the confidence, the way that Vegas still has them as the favorites to go to the Super Bowl, that is all going to be based off things that past Chiefs teams have done. Not anything that the 2025 Chiefs have accomplished.
That I 100% agree with you. So maybe the question is the same, but the perception, the whatever around the Chiefs is, and maybe I'm falling into a trap with the text line, because the text line, if the Chiefs are 5-5, will say, ho hum, they're the Chiefs. But I think it is going to be fair to ask, you say you're the Chiefs, but what have you done to prove you're the Chiefs? Where the Broncos will now have their claim, their stake to legitimacy that everyone has been trying to ding them. I'd also say, and we have a week to talk about this, all the questions we're about with Denver and Kansas City, all that we can reset all the same topics and have the exact same conversations the next week when it's the Colts, because although it's not a division game and it's at Arrowhead, all that same, hey, are the Chiefs around the Colts for real conversations are absolutely going to happen all over again next week, come Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, and I mean, the burden of proof is just always going to be on the lesser of the two teams. Like, coming up in a couple of weeks, whenever Kansas and Missouri play each other, Kansas is going to be the favorite. And I'm not really sure if Kansas is going to show you on the court why people think they're better than Missouri, other than when Kansas and Missouri play each other, you should always just pick Kansas to win. The talent might be the same. Like, there's some places that Missouri is better at than Kansas and vice versa. They feel very, very even coming into this. But when you've dominated a series, when you have been the kind of program that Kansas is, you get the benefit of the doubt. The Chiefs right now are getting the benefit of the doubt, not off of what they've shown so far in 2025. It is the incredible track record that they have built up over the last 7 years of, at any point that you have tried to disregard the Kansas City Chiefs, they have shown you exactly why that was a very foolish thing to do. We'll keep talking about the Chiefs coming up on the other side. There is one thing that I am worried about heading into this matchup. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965 The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
There are certain things that are in my contract that I have to do or it'll be voided. Like when we have the mayor on, I have to ask him about the stadium. You know, I just have to. It doesn't matter what he's on for. Like, I have to ask you at least one or two questions or there's going to be problems. Well, there's another clause in my contract is, at least for this season, we have to talk about the running backs and we have to talk about the run game. Now, I am picking the Chiefs to win this game. I'm not really sure if Rob's picking them yet. I have not asked Rob exactly who he's picking in this game, but I don't know if he's picking them. But I want to tell you guys where I am worried about this game and where I'm worried about the Chiefs going up against the Broncos. I'm not sure if they're going to run the ball in this game. I'm not sure if they're going to run the ball well. I'm not sure if they're going to run the ball at all in this game. Now, maybe you disagree with that, and that is perfectly fine. But the Chiefs' offense works when it's balanced. They don't have to run it super well, but they can't completely neglect the run. And a scenario in which I could see the Chiefs losing this game is the Chiefs are going to drop back and throw it 40 times, and the Broncos are just going to be in pass rush situations, and you're going to keep letting that defensive line. They don't have to respect the run because they don't think you are going to run the ball and you are not committed to running the football and you are going to let their defensive line just go get after Patrick Mahomes. And we all know what that looks like. Pat leaves early. He's running around. He's not comfortable. He's not set up in the pocket. And if you can give this offense a flat tire, that is normally what it looks like with their offense. That's normally what it looks like. So if you were asking me right now, what am I worried about? What am I fearful of? Paint me a scenario in which the Broncos win this game. I don't really think it's that hard. It's the Chiefs run the ball 11 times. They get 37 rush yards. Mahomes runs it a little bit, but they have no threat on the ground. There is no fear of them running the football, and it is one of those Pat go save us offensively games. Now, the Chiefs can win those games. They have won those games before. You want to know what will make it a very uncomfortable fourth quarter? If every time it is Pat in run around scramble mode, I got to turn into Clark Kent in order to win the game. I've seen that offensive game plan before. That's not one that they blow the Broncos out. That is not one in which the Chiefs go out and they win this game 27-17. No, this is a 16-14. This is a 21-17 uncomfortable kind of game because your offense can't get going. I don't really think the Broncos are scoring a whole lot of points in this game. I know what the Chiefs defense did. I know our questions about their defensive line. I just don't trust the Broncos to play consistent or well on offense. I'm more worried about, to me, how the Chiefs play in this game. And if the Chiefs are balanced, if the Chiefs run the football effectively, if they're utilizing the short game and they're maximizing their offense, I expect them to go on the road, play well, and win this game comfortably and convincing between these two teams. But if they run the offensive game plan that they had against Buffalo, they are going to struggle offensively, and that is going to give Denver every opportunity to steal that game and win that game.
Maybe this is just semantics, but this is one of the reasons why I think that Sunday is going to be a rock fight, ugly kind of game. I am picking the Chiefs, to answer your question from earlier. I do think the Chiefs are going to win just because I don't think Bo Nix can beat the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs offense might struggle at times on Sunday. It doesn't matter. Bo Nix is that bad. But I fear, similar to you, the Chiefs, when they look bad, are a product of, boy, that pass rush really got after Pat. And it's not just like, oh man, holes in the O-line like it was in the Bucs Super Bowl. I'm talking about like regular pass rush really creates a problem for Pat. We've seen that this season. We saw it 2 weeks ago against Buffalo. That happened. Now, we disagree on the run game's value, and that's fine. But what I saw in Buffalo is a pass rush that got after Mahomes. Mahomes bailed out. Mahomes has, as you called it, Bucs Super Bowl PTSD, got happy feet, and at times the offense got a little off schedule and didn't look great because of that.
The Broncos pass rush can do all those same things. So I think it's going to be a rock fight. The difference is last week, despite the offensive issues the Bills have had in 2025, I still think Josh Allen and co are good enough to score enough points to, when the fact they slow down Patrick Mahomes, they can go win. But that game last week was what, 28-21 Bills? Do we think that the Broncos can get to 28? No. So I think it will look similar to last week because that Broncos D-line could inflict that much terror, but I don't know the Broncos offense is going to take advantage of it the same way the Bills offense was.
Yeah, but I guess at least for me in this game, why I think Buffalo was able to disrupt the timing. I mean, we saw their pass rushers just get after them, and you made that point about the Bosa was really good in this game. Greg Russo was really good. AJ Espinosa was really good. I mean, they didn't really try to run the football, and they didn't really run the football successfully. They ran the ball for 79 yards on 20 carries. Now, again, I'm not saying that I think the Chiefs are going to come out here and really ground and pound and do it that way. But this felt like, at times, Pat, go out here and make magic kind of game. And I think that's how you can beat Kansas City. Like, remember when I feel like every year there is sort of a theme around how you slow down Kansas City. You remember a couple of years ago, it was that cover two high safety. That was this magical defense that now could slow down Kansas City, like somebody had created using both of your safeties and playing them back to stop deep passes. This year, it feels like the theme has been, well, you can't run in shotgun. It feels like there's those themes. Man, if the Chiefs are not converting second and four and using their run game effectively and using play action, and again, if they're just creating scenarios in which you are going to tell Nick Benito, you're going to tell that defensive line, hey, you don't got to worry about the run because they're not going to do it anyway. We want you to try to get upfield. Then I think you beat Josh Simmons one time. I think you beat Jawan Taylor one time. And are we talking about a game in which Patrick Mahomes gets sacked four or five times in that scenario? Well, if that ends up being the case, then Kansas City is just going to have a long, long Sunday. And that is a game to me that the Broncos have a chance to win, even though I think the Chiefs are better than the Denver Broncos.
I think the game script for Denver to have a puncher's chance is exactly what you just said. Now, I think some of this, and we just disagree on this, and we disagree over the course of the year, some of this, the Chiefs don't run the ball effectively, I don't think is the shotgun run or the running backs in the backfield or the O-line. I think some of it is Andy Reid. Now, I don't know if he abandons it because he doesn't like it. I don't know if he doesn't commit to it because whatever the reason. But some of that lack of run game and letting the defense pin their ears back falls on the head coach, because it's been happening in Kansas City far beyond just Patrick Mahomes. But you're right. Once he abandons the run, which, as a viewer, I can see, oh, Andy's done trying. Like, he's
for sure.
You can feel when it happens.
Especially, I thought the Chiefs tried to run the ball in the first 30 minutes of the Bills game. They had no interest in the second half of the game.
Which is crazy, because at halftime, he told Tracy Wolfson, we got to keep running the ball.
Like, they ran it six times after halftime last week.
Just quit.
So if that's the case, if you're telling me in the final 30 minutes of the game, the Chiefs run the ball six times, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. That's a game that they can lose. I know people don't believe it, and I know that Pacheco is kind of fallen out of the Chiefs fan circle of trust. They could really use Isaiah Pacheco's 12 carries in this game. They could really use Pacheco's 12 carries. Kareem Hunt gets 8. You sprinkle in a little bit of Rice. You sprinkle in a little bit of Worthy, a little bit of Bashard Smith. You can really do it, because basically their run game was Kareem Hunt. And there's just not a high ceiling of what you're going to get from Kareem Hunt. If you give Kareem Hunt 13 carries, what's the most amount of yards you think you get? And then it was just one carry here to this guy, one carry here for this guy. You never really got a chance to get anything going. And then just it allowed that defensive line for Buffalo to just really get after Patrick Mahomes. And we saw what that meant for the offense. Like, we were feeling confident about the Chiefs offense heading into that Bills game. Oh, it's back. It's 2018. It's 2022. It scored 21 points in that game and scored 8 points after half. Like, Buffalo really neutralized it. And you were going up against a better, more complete defensive line with the Denver Broncos than you did a couple of weeks ago against the Buffalo Bills. I was asked a very interesting question yesterday. I'll tell you what my answer was. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
All right, we'll get back to very serious football things here coming up momentarily, but I want to tell you guys a very, very quick story. So yesterday, I was out to dinner, and somebody recognized me. We had a quick little conversation, and he asked me a question. He said, "Hey, is there a song that when you are at the game, you're just tired of hearing? You wish that they just stopped playing it?" He was like, "Mine is Center Field. You know that, put me in, coach, I'm ready." I was like, "You know what? That's a good one." And I said, "You know what? I'm not going to give you my answer now. I'm going to give you my answer tomorrow on the show." And he said, "I'll be listening." So I want to say, James, I appreciate you listening. I want to answer the question. Rob, this is the answer to, I never want to go to another basketball game, football game, baseball game, any athletic competition. I never want to hear this song again. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything. I will never let the past generation make fun of us or the new generation for the kind of music that they're listening to when they were listening to this. Never. I will never let our parents or our grandparents make fun of the kind of music we listen to if they were getting down to the Village People at the YMCA. It's insulting that they make fun of our music, to be completely honest with you. You've been at a sporting event. When YMCA comes on, people get out of their chair. They start boogieing. It's embarrassing. I never want to hear YMCA again. I want it deleted from Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. I never want to hear that song again.
I mean, I don't disagree. How often does that come on at sporting events, though? Like, I go to a fair share of games, and I rarely hear YMCA. There's some songs I hear that I'm like, "All right, we're good. I'm done." But YMCA is not one. YMCA is a song that comes on at a wedding, and you're like, "Why? Why is it going on at a wedding? Why are people doing the YMCA in suits and dresses?"
But I don't want to be at nobody's wedding if they got the DJ playing YMCA. I don't want to be at your wedding. That's not where I need to be.
I just don't think YMCA is. I don't hear that often in stadiums.
Somebody at the text line said YMCA was our Who Let the Dogs Out.
That is, yes.
We're not gonna make fun of Who Let the Dogs Out, though. Come on now. It's a great song.
Great?
Yeah, it's a great song. It's a great song that we only know one part of. I don't know any other part.
Does it have a lyrics other than the chorus?
There are like a handful of songs that we had coming up that we only know like a very small part. Remember that Mambo Number 5? Don't know anything the song is about. Nothing. No, I don't know anything about it. Nothing. I just remember that one little stretch of songs.
I'm trying to think what else is in that. Would this be the Macarena in this same stretch of songs?
Yeah, I don't really hear that as much anymore. No, I feel like the Macarena got kind of replaced.
Yeah, that's fair. Macarena, it was 1998's Cupid Shuffle.
Okay, that's a good
what the
one.
Macarena was.
That's a good one. No, you're right. I bet the Macarena, you talk about a song that used to shut a wedding down. I bet that was the song that they used to play to get everybody to the dance floor and to get going. Everybody used to get going when that song used to come on.
I'm betting if you were at a wedding in anywhere between 98 to 07, Macarena definitely came
for
on.
Sure.
You know what? Now I'm saying, you know what Macarena is? Macarena is the last generation Soulja Boy. Because if Soulja Boy comes on, our era, we're out there. We know the dance. Are we good at the dance? No, but we know it.
Rob, I would love to see you go, I would just love to see that. I don't know what we need to do to make that happen, but I want to be in a situation where I get a chance to see you, Yule. Earlier on the show today, we had James Palmer, formerly of NFL Network. He currently works at Bleacher Report. We asked him, how big of a game is this in Denver? In Kansas City, I don't know. I don't know how I would describe how you guys feel. I don't know if it's panicked, worried, calm. I don't really have a good sense. I think a lot of you are playing the wait and see game, because if the Chiefs win, the swagger will be back 100%. It will be a see we told you. You will walk in with so much confidence. I don't know how you guys are going to respond next week. You guys can have let's fire Andy Reid and Matt Nagy energy. I told you so. Or it could be a we're not worried about that. We don't care about the division because we're going to win the Super Bowl anyway. Like, I don't really know how you guys are going to play it with a loss. I know how you guys are going to play it with the win. We asked James Palmer. Here's what he said.
It'd be massive. It would be. And you're exactly right. I mean, I've covered all those big games in Kansas City. There's a reason I'm getting sent there. It's like, this is the team. These are the matchups. These are the games. And this is a what league? A quarterback-driven league. There has not been a quarterback in Denver since Peyton Manning retired in 2015. There just hasn't been. I mean, it's just been an embarrassing revolving door of you know, drafting guys in the first round. Paxton Lynch might be the biggest whiff of a quarterback in the first round in recent memory. You try to bring in Case Keenum or Joe Flacco or Trevor Siemian, you and I were joking around about, like Russell Wilson, one of the bigger trades that have flopped. They've tried to fix this thing, but they haven't been relevant because they haven't had quarterback play. You know, those Vic Fangio years, go back and ask Patrick Mahomes how fun it was going against Vic Fangio's defenses in those years. He hated it. It was awful. He still won all the games because they didn't have a quarterback. But this team has just been sitting there, you know, as one of the marquee franchises of the NFL, in my opinion. I mean, they own a region of the country in the Denver Broncos, and they just have not been relevant. They used to hang their hat on a saying that was incredible. They had more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons as a franchise before they went through this drought. I mean, that's an amazing stat. And now they do feel like they're back in relevancy. They do feel like they have a quarterback. I think that's still to be determined, in all honesty, a year and a half into Bo Nix's career, whether he is the guy.
I understand that the Chiefs' regular season has evolved past conference and division rivalries. I get that. It is certainly a lot better when either the Raiders or Broncos are good. The Chargers don't really have a fan base. The Chargers just, there's no oomph when it comes to the Chargers. Like, you feel it, right? They don't feel like they have a home. It just, I don't think you guys get up for Chargers games. You get up for games against the Raiders. You get up for games against the Broncos. Those are traditional rivals. So I am happy that one of those two teams are good, and these games matter, and they're nostalgic. They remind you of when you were a kid, and Elway, and Derek Thomas, and Neil Smith, and Alex Smith, and Peyton Manning and the nope. I just, there's so many different storylines that come with it. So, I mean, this is the biggest game between the Chiefs and Broncos in a really long time. I was trying to think of earlier. I would say this is the biggest Chiefs and Broncos game since. Rob, what year was that? I think the Chiefs played the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. And it was like the Broncos had like a 12-game win streak against the Chiefs. And Jamaal Charles had a late fumble. The Broncos returned it for a touchdown, and that was the difference in the game.
That was 2015.
This is probably the biggest Chiefs and Broncos game since then. I would either say that's the answer, or it was back in 2013, that Sunday Night Football game, where the Chiefs started the year off 9-0. It didn't feel all the way real, but they started off 9-0. The Broncos were 8-1. Peyton Manning was a quarterback. Sunday Night Football, I think that game got flexed. It feels like it's the biggest game between these two teams in over a decade or so.
I mean, to James's point, and we're playing the cut, I think one of the reasons it feels that way is the Broncos haven't held up their end of the bargain. Like, in a way, Chiefs and Broncos kind of reminds me of KU Kansas State football. It's not as one-sided, although it's close to as one-sided, but it's because one side isn't holding up their end of the bargain. You and I, you don't have a lot of big, oh man, Chiefs and Broncos moments since the Royals World Series run. The Broncos have not held up their end of the bargain. It's not by lack of trying. Like James' point, they have tried different quarterbacks. They've just always been bad or largely irrelevant, and the Chiefs have steamrolled them. Like, this one feels different because the Broncos are back to relevancy, and that adds a little extra flavor to this rivalry.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at redeemhealthshare.org.